Welcome back to the podcast. I hope everyone has had a really awesome Christmas and New Year. This episode for you is all about kindergarten and starting school because, as we know, everyone starts back at school mid next week. So I hope this gives you some things to think about in terms of how your child might be feeling starting school. And there's a couple of tips in there about what you can do as a parent to help alleviate the stress for your little one starting.
Breakaway.
Welcome back to the Breakaway Tuition Podcast. This is our first one for 2021.
Yes, it's so good to be back.
And we did have plans to start earlier in January, but they always...
It all went a bit downhill because we've been super, super busy.
That's it. Always. And so here we are at the beginning of a new year and we are, what, like a week and a half out from school starting? Kind of. Yeah, it's a week and a half.
I think it's a week and a half. I think, yeah.
So you want you to go back on a Thursday?
Yeah, well, I think it starts back on the 28th for some people, doesn't it?
They do. It starts for some on Thursday.
Yeah.
And then some more on Friday.
On day to go back, because I know that kindergarten's going back the week after with some schools. I think most schools, kindy starts the week after.
Yeah. So year seven, I know year sevens go back on the Thursday and year 12. And then usually like year eight and the rest of the years go back on the Friday.
Yeah, it must just be how the calendar fell.
It's a very interesting way. Anyway, I'm always interested in the start of school because I just don't understand what they're trying to accomplish by making kids go back for 2 days and then have a holiday. Or a week.
They must have their reason, I don't know.
Anyway, so we're back. We're back for another year. If you've been watching our socials, you'll see that we've had a few changes at Breakaway over the holiday break. So that has been exciting.
All good changes, all amazing changes.
Yeah, all very, very good changes. So that means, though, you're like, are you going to say what these changes are?
Why don't we let's tell the lovely people what's happening.
I have to do it. One of the changes that we've brought on is that Ted has come on board as a co-director for Breakaway Tuition this year, which I am very excited about. I guess it just means that I'm not slaving away here by myself. But it's also exciting for a whole range of different reasons as well. Just in the terms of the expertise that he can bring to the business and help push us forward a bit more. He's giving me weird looks over there.
It's just weird sitting here hearing that. No, thank you. That's good. I'm so excited. We've already accomplished quite a few things that we are going to let people know about once they're fully finalised, but we've been making some amazing headway for all the wonderful families and all the wonderful tutors that we have here, and we love our tutors to bits here. We've got some really exciting news, so keep an eye on your socials because it's going to be coming out soon.
And one of the other things is we're trying to get like our socials and stuff up real well this year. We've got a massive focus on like assessments and how all of that works in here as well.
So we've been listening to the community, we've been listening to the parents, and we've been listening to, you know, what people really want to get out of a tuition business. I think that's probably one of the most important things is to really, particularly with a model and a setting like this, is to really kind of listen to the people that attend, not so much, you know, you're peeling.
I'm peeling, sorry.
Alicia got severely sunburned, from what I know.
That bad.
Well, it wasn't like a huge burn, but anyway, we'll get on topic after I talk about this. Got a bit red and is peeling. What's your heritage again? I can't quite remember.
Scottish.
See, I've got the Portuguese and the French, and it just doesn't happen.
Anyway.
Back to business. guys, basically, I'm super happy to be on as a director with Alicia, and of course Alicia is very much the captain of the ship, and I'm just there to give a helping hand.
Lovely. Nice way to put it. So we start the year with 15 tutors. I think it's about 15.
Yep.
Yep. And basically, like, all of our tutors are all locals. So when you are coming through our front doors at Breakaway Tuition, you are also helping to support another 15 local families as well.
That's something we really want to make sure people know, is that we're not a massive corporation, are we?
No, not at all.
We you know, think of it like this. You know, you see people around, the private tutors that are going around, and they're saying, oh, we charge this much, and obviously the idea is to support those people and to help them achieve whatever educational goal they've got. But I hope people do realise that under the Breakaway flag and the Breakaway banner is that we as a company are supporting 15 of those local tutors that are around. So they're still local tutors. They're just flying under the banner and they're earning, well, no, we won't go into the specifics, but they're earning well, and it's all in one building. So yeah. it's such a good idea.
Yeah, and I mean on that as well, like when we are buying supplies and we are, you know, buying bits and pieces for the business and stuff as well, we always put our money back into the community too. So
yeah.
That's something that we really want you guys to realize and focus on, even like down to programs. So we don't have specific tutoring programs here that we run to.
No.
And the sole purpose is that every single child that comes through have different needs and different, you know, things that they need assistance with. And like some of us use parts of programs and bits and pieces of different programs, but for us to actually help our students the best that we can, it's important that we're picking and choosing the best parts of each different, you know, possible thing that's available to assist them, which is why, like, I'm really, really strong on, you know, not even telling my tutors how to tutor, because that's also, you know, stumps creativity and moving our students forward and things as well.
That's right.
Anyway, so today's podcast that we are going to be recording obviously is back to school focused.
Yes,
back to school. I'm sure Ted's just saying it's very exciting because he gets less kids in his house during the day. Like most parents at this time of the year, as much as we all enjoy the Christmas break and it's a little bit longer, it's good.
It'll be good for parents and it'll be good for kids, I think. I don't know about it. I'm sure everybody else out there who's got multiple kids know that kids really start getting into each other. And we've spoken about this a little bit, which is why we've had some episodes about, you know, holiday activities and all that sort of thing. So I'm hoping people did find the time to actually go out and have a great time with your family. And Alicia and I sincerely hope that you all had a wonderful Christmas and a super safe New Year. Still, of course, being COVID conscious. so important. I can't stop saying that enough. We're talking about back to school and we're going to talk a little bit about kindergarten and what's involved in the process with that, particularly for new parents who have never experienced their little baby going to kindergarten. It's to be honest with you, it's a tricky time. And unless you're a brick wall of a person and who has no emotions, which I will never believe for anyone, it can be tricky. So we'll talk a little bit about sort of what to expect with that. We'll talk a little bit about the activities that they get up to in the kinder classrooms. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of things. We're going to keep it pretty informal. We're just going to have a chat. And like we say in other episodes as well, we'd love for people to continue to talk to us. We've had people communicate with us a little bit here and there about ideas, and we'd like to keep pushing that as well. Yes. So, kindergarten 2021. Hell of a year to start kindergarten.
Yeah, well, it'll...
Coming off COVID 2020.
Well, it'll be interesting, I think. Firstly, it'll be interesting to see what the year unravels as for them. I guess there is hopes and a lot of hopes that perhaps this year it will be less interrupted for the kindy kids and for all of our kids, but for kindy kids in particular, to try and get them into routines and get used to the classroom, because last year, you know, as soon as they sort of were getting into their rhythms and routines, it all turned upside down pretty quick.
Yes.
Pretty quickly.
Yes, it did.
So, yeah. But, okay.
Let's talk a bit. Can we start a little bit on parent stress? Is that all right?
Are you feeling stressed?
Well, here's my thing.
Are you feeling a bit crazy over there?
My second baby is starting kindergarten. Look, she, it's funny, I'm sure a lot of parents are in this boat as well. My second child, my second daughter is 4, and she's turning 5 in April. And usually the recommendation is 5 going on 6. That's just sort of the idea and the plan. It's funny enough, the preschool that had my child said she literally will get bored now. And I know this happens to a lot of families, that certain children in a preschool setting can begin to excel their skills, their social skills, their cognitive skills, you know, skills relating to, you know, the constructivism side of things as well. And my daughter Annalise decided to excel, which means we had to really start to push her to a school program, which was really interesting. So yes, stress. 4-year-old going into kindergarten. Can
you
feel it?
Well, you know what? I started. So my birthday's July. I started when I was 4 too. So I was like even later. Yeah.
Okay. How old was I? I don't remember.
It was interesting though, because like I think firstly, sorry, just to like take over from your parents' dress over there.
No, please go.
But I think firstly, as a parent, it's difficult to know whether that's the right decision for your child.
Agreed.
Because even if they have excelled in preschool,
mm.
there is still a possibility, even if they were in front in preschool or they were demonstrating that they're ready to go to school, that they don't quite take up to it.
I agree.
And then they struggle in that classroom environment. So I think for parents, it's always a difficult decision to know whether you've perhaps made the right decision putting them in earlier than some.
That's right.
Or like what to do in that situation.
It's one of those
situations. You get through it.
Look, the thing is, and it comes back to stress, is just communication. You know, in order to start kindergarten, it's always recommended, and teachers will say this until they're blue in the face, it's always recommended, the kindy teacher in particular will always say, go on the advice from the early childhood teacher, because they're in a setting where they're able to determine whether or not the child is ready or not. But like Alicia said, you know, they may excel at preschool, but then they may begin to fall behind a little bit in the kinder classroom, which I think would be a reasonably common trend, I think, particularly starting a little bit further back.
But you've got to make the right decision for your child and your family as well.
You got to, and that's
so, and you've got to make a decision.
You're making 100 decisions a day and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to get it done. Okay, parent stress. So I think the most important thing to think about is communication. Not only between, I really want to stress this a lot, not only between parent and teacher. Yes, there should be a very strong communicational line there, a communication thread there. But I think also the parent needs to be able to talk to the child as well. You know, it allows the child to be reassured that mum and dad, they care enough to ask me how I'm going and how my day's going. But it also, you know, in my opinion, it also makes the parent feel a little bit like, oh, you know what? They went to school and they didn't have a terrible day, and I've been sitting out here sweating bullets for the last 4 hours. Not saying that happened to me. It very well could have happened to me.
Sounds like
thinking
it happened
to me. About it. But I think it's just a matter of just keeping a really open line of communication. And I think we're lucky. The school system is a really good school system, you know, in my opinion. Like anything, there's flaws, but I think as a whole, and particularly the schools I've worked with, they're really, you know, everything's okay, and they pride themselves on transparency, so in the way in being honest with each other. So yeah, parent stress, the way I do it is keep a very strong open line of communication.
I think it's important as well, because obviously, like, we know that kids will experience significant anxiety about going into that new setting as well. So obviously with your like parent communication and keeping the lines of communication open with your child as well, which in some regards is most important.
Yes.
It then will allow your child to come to you if they are feeling particularly anxious about the change. And like, honestly, it's a massive change. Like, it's a really big change for them, even if they've been to preschool, even if they've been to preschool 5 days a week. It's still a brand new environment surrounded by people they don't know and surrounded by more kids and big kids.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. In the school systems, you know, they've still got that buddy system. Do you remember buddies?
I do remember buddies.
That is such a wonderful system. We were very lucky. My daughter had a wonderful buddy, and it was funny. Her father was my school teacher at school. and it was such a weird feeling. So if you ever find yourself in that situation, please just embrace it for all that it is. Yeah, so keeping an open line of communication between the teacher and parent, keeping a communication between child and mum and dad, it's just so important, because at the end of the day, it's really stressful and you're going to be stressed.
Mm.
So find a way to not be as stressed.
I think on top of that, just something to keep in mind as well in terms of parent and teacher communication, just making sure that as your child starts school, that you are aware of how that communication will come across and what that communication might look like as well.
Yeah.
So that you're not like worried that you haven't heard anything or those types of things. Because I know some schools, they use like the student diaries, for example, as the line of communication to the teacher, or they use their online systems or emails. Or
yeah, a lot of it seems to be online. Through there's a wonderful app called Compass. And I think I know the Catholic system, the Catholic education system uses Compass a lot. I don't know too much what the public sector is doing at the moment, but it's I'm not educated on the subject particularly with this, but I would assume it's something similar. But you know what I found as well, the kindergarten teachers, they want the parents to come in, they want to talk, because they know
it's kindy. It's kindy.
It's so cool. You know, it's such a wonderful time. So to sum up on this particular subject, breakaway tuition, Alicia and myself wish every child starting kindergarten and the parents the very best of luck with it all. And we're always here in case you ever need any advice or anything as well, with regard to that. So please. Yeah. And that goes for parents too, in my opinion. If parents want some advice from Alicia in particular or me, then please.
Massively so.
Look us up.
And I think that's not just for kindergarten, that's for anything.
That's anything, yeah.
But yeah, so parent communication is a big thing for primary school. What about like routines and setting up your routines with your kids?
Yeah, routines.
It's hard. It's hard. And I mean, so I do think that, you know, particularly this week's probably a good week to try and get your kids back into at least a night routine, some type, like obviously during holidays, everything changes and there is like no routine, but you know, this week is probably a really good week to start getting your kids back into like their nighttime routines, at least around dinner and shower, like or baths and bed, and even getting them up at the time that they need to be up at by Thursday next week. And doing like those things, particularly with primary school kids.
Yeah, well, primary, I mean, like we've said in other podcasts, they're the formative years in particular. You know, it's really a time where you've really got to start instilling not only, you know, academic expectations, but lifestyle expectations. So, you know, getting a good early dinner in, getting a, you know, finish up TV. You know, it's interesting. It's recommended. I read this recently on some psychology website. Sorry, I can't plug the name of it. I can't remember the name of it. But this psychologist had said it's a really good idea to stop watching television an hour before bed.
Have you only just heard that? Like, that's been going around for a while.
It's really the only time I've really listened to it, I think.
It's the same as leaving your devices outside of the bedroom. Have you heard of that one?
I never do that in my life.
Wow. Well, that's another one. So that the melatonin... So that you have time to produce enough melatonin.
Melatonin, yeah. So
to help you
that
sleep.
Was the big word that they were using. I was trying to remember what the big word
that really, that's melatonin. A big word.
So it's interesting, you know, but like Alicia and I was saying, you know, it is important to sort of instill a really good routine. Something that I do in my house, if parents want to take this on, is that I hang the school uniforms up, which I've already done now, 2 weeks, exactly where my children can see it. And we can say, school, you know, we have a school countdown going on in, say, a week. This is the uniform you're going to wear. So give them an end goal there. You know, and we could harp on about routines. Look, best of luck with routines.
That way. It's different for every family as well, I think. But on top of routines, if you have like chores and things your kids are supposed to do as well in afternoon times and things, now is probably also a good time to sort of get them back into the habit of doing those things too.
Yep.
Because basically you're not going to pull your hair out. But yeah, the kids, if you're giving them time to sort of get back into the expectation, and when they have to be out to the car or the bus or whatever as well, it's going to make the first few weeks of school a little bit easier and probably less tantrum based.
Yeah, hopefully.
It's a bit, and I think this is the thing that we often underestimate as well. Even for adults, it's hard for us to get ourselves back into those routines after we've had an extended break off. Mm. But it's just sort of, it makes you feel better if you know, like, what's going to happen and that you need to be here, like, in the car at this time to get to here. Mm. and those types of things. So it does alleviate pressure off your kids. Mm. and off you as well.
Mm.
There's nothing worse than, like, shouting the house down because Lucy's lost a sock and there's no shoes and you don't know where they are. So yeah, now's probably the best time to get back into those.
Yeah, a routine that's sort of customized to your family. You know, if you've got one kid, five kids, doesn't matter. It's we recommend that there is some form of routine. And look, you guys may be listening and go, yeah, we've totally got a routine in place. Well, congratulations, that's wonderful. I'll have a lot to learn from you. you know, it's funny, you have kids running around the house and it's wonderful to hear, but sometimes it can get frustrating as well. So just we're not going to do the whole frustrating speech that we spoke about four podcast episodes ago or so, but it is important to just sort of bear in mind that everybody's stressing out and everybody's getting into the routine of it.
That's it.
So be kind to yourselves is what we're saying.
I think that's a big thing.
Give yourself a break.
But yeah, so what else? What else for back to school? What other things?
Let's talk a little bit about maybe the anxiety aspect of it from the child. I think
anxiety is a big one.
There's a huge... And look, it's funny, is there's a really strong blend of anxiety versus excitement.
Mm.
They're so excited. Oh, I'm a big kid. I'm totally going to get this done. But at the same time, oh, I'm really scared because I'm going to be away from mum and dad 5 days a week. Don't push the whole, you know, you're going to be absolutely fine. You've got nothing to worry about. Because at the end of the day, acknowledging that you are worried about something is really its own form of strength in a way. You know, acknowledging that, you know, this is different. This is a different time. I'm not sure if I'm going to be okay or not. You know, rest assured that, you know, the school systems and the department and whatever else is involved with the education system do a wonderful job. But it is important for parents to recognize that the kid is feeling anxious. So ways to conquer feeling anxious. Number one, talking.
I'll say
that. Absolutely talking. Sit down on the couch. Have a juice. Have a popper, have a biscuit and go, well, what's wrong, little Tommy? What's happening? Why are you so nervous? And get the child to tell you, because we can hypothesize till Alicia and I blew in the face about what the science behind why someone might be anxious or whatever. And that goes for any parent. But at the end of the day, the child is going to tell you what's scaring them most.
In terms of that, though, what if your child is not aware that they're anxious?
Mm.
What types of things would we be looking out for to see body language.
Body language, if you're talking about school.
So what type of body language?
Maybe fidgeting their thumbs, tapping their feet.
I feel like that's just me on a daily basis.
Are you starting school again? We'll have after the podcast is off, Alicia and I will communicate. We'll have a strong thread of confidence. Everything's going to be all right, Alicia. Okay.
What about sleep?
Yeah, well, things like sleep, just getting up in the middle of the night, going to the toilet more frequently. Maybe they're not eating as much. Their appetite has changed. All sorts of things can contribute to something like that.
Clingy.
Well, it's interesting that my 6-year-old going into year one, she is very, really usually a very calm sort of kid. And lately she's been real angry. And you know what I did?
Angry.
I sat down and I spoke to her and I asked her what was going on. Why was she angry? Her response to me was, I just really want to get back to school.
And that's why she's angry, because she's not at school. Isn't that interesting?
We could do a whole episode on her.
Manifesting in anger. But she's a type of kid though that needs to be switched on all the time.
She's very go go go.
Yeah, and so like the cool, calm, collected idea of a holiday
doesn't work
for her. Which is interesting that it comes out as anger, isn't it? That's interesting.
It is interesting. Excuse me, because she's not. Sorry, but just. Anyway, she's not an angry person, and it's interesting sort of looking at it. Even apart from my daughter there are other children, you know, that particularly when I was in early childhood, when I was working in the preschool rooms, where you'd have a combination of children that were, you know, really excited about starting school and go, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to bring my soccer ball every day to school and blah, 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 which, by the way, you're not allowed to do anymore.
Such a shame, isn't it?
It's a real shame. I remember, my year six teacher threw balls at us from
dodgeball.
Yeah, I think that was a bit. Did you ever play bin ball?
I remember bin ball.
Yeah, I think that's where you had to set two bins up and you had to throw the ball. Yeah. But my teacher, he just took aim.
Bin ball. We just did dodgeball. Yeah. And it was basically, the teacher pegging balls at you from the side.
I think that was their favourite time of the week.
Anyway.
So it is interesting for parents to maybe look out and have a look at
difference, how a child manifests. Yeah, difference in that as well. I think sometimes when we think anxiety, we're just thinking that perhaps our child is more clingy or upset than they usually are, but we're not thinking about it manifesting as anger.
Yeah.
Or
it's very interesting.
I think body language and stuff. Sometimes we overlook that a lot.
No, absolutely. Body language, appetite, like you said, sleeping, it's interesting. You know, they might get up more often. They might have trouble going to sleep. I mean, I'm sure I know in my case, I'm sure Alicia's as well, is that getting kids asleep for the night can sometimes be like trying to pull a tooth out of your head.
Pretty much so.
but it's important just to sort of recognize that no parent is alone with that and no one should be judging one another with anything.
No, massively so.
We're all in this parenting ship together and there's no right way to do it really. But
just making sure that your child knows that you're there and that you're there to talk to as well.
I agree with him, yeah. And it's so exciting. I'm excited just thinking about it. I'm scared. I'm terrified like every other parent, but it's going to be wonderful.
Cool.
So if anyone has any further information on that, please feel free to visit the Facebook page and the website.
You should all have all your other back-to-school stuff sorted by now.
Me?
Bags.
Oh, well, the bags, well, we bought shoes. The bag from... Oh, well, no. You're talking about routine.
Stationery.
Oh, well, it's so funny. The schools require you to bring your own stuff now. And, again, talk about primary. It's
different to different schools, isn't it? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, well, that's all the school that my kids go to. You have to have, like, your own iPad by the time you hit year five. Each.
What if you don't have your own iPad as a parent?
I know.
Isn't that interesting?
No, it sucks. Anyway... So best of luck with it, everyone.
good luck.
Yeah, good luck. And it's going to be wonderful. Let us know if we can help you in any way. That's fine.